to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We are doing an open forum today, so we invite you to call in at 855-454-5905. 855-454-5905. So we have Doug calling in from North Carolina on line 3. Doug, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. I believe you mentioned the very interesting question to our producer, if you don't mind asking us again, and welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Yes, I was trying to find out, how do you know when God has sent somebody in your life?
Okay. I think sometimes God just makes it so clear that you can't deny it. Other times it's not very clear. So do you want to explain, is it specifically a situation you're in right now, or you're just kind of asking just so if someone did come your way, you would know?
Yeah, just kind of if someone did come my way that I would know. But I was trying to understand, a lot of times it's not totally clear, you know, when it comes to you, you know, and I believe that when God is bringing two people together, sometimes that the enemy fights against that thing. Mm-hmm. And so in that case, it's not always clear. And there's times when you can see a situation and you know in your spirit, okay, this is it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know what? I appreciate this question a lot because there are so many schools of thought and many philosophies out there. Some believe, you know, and would even preach that there's an actual soulmate. Like you know, God is just like Adam and Eve, you know, he made someone specifically for you. And then others just simply believe, you know, if there are two people who love God, why can't they be together? You know? And really, when I read the scripture, I think it's both. I think in some cases, there are situations where God himself gets involved and says, listen, you two need to be together. I have a plan for the both of you. And there are other times where God just kind of leaves it up to us, the individual, and we choose. As long as we choose within his guidelines, for example, if you're a Christian and she's a Christian, and if you're able to complement each other and have a relationship that pleases him, then by all means. Now, I do think there are times where God does say no, but we don't want to hear no, so we always, you know, we try to find another way and make it happen. And I think God's way of saying no is, number one, if it's hurting your relationship with him. Number two, if there are just too many obstacles. I know you said the enemy, but sometimes it's not the devil that puts obstacles in our way. If God is as sovereign as we believe he is, then he's in control, and he can allow and change situations. So if the devil is doing something, we know from the book of Job, it's because God has allowed him to do it. And so the real question would be, you know, how open are you to the will of God? And so when the time comes, when you find someone and you really want to know, number one, are you both able to apply the scriptures to your life? Will it be a pure relationship? Is it a relationship that glorifies God and really makes you better as a man? Wow. Does that make sense? And, you know, and at the same time, there are scriptures like Romans 8:28, where it says that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So what that means as well is the fact that even if you make a mistake, God can turn it for good. And I was sharing that with a few callers earlier who felt like they've really messed up. But God is so amazing. He could work for the good of those who love him. And so even if you made, let's say you made a mistake, dating is a lot. There are a lot of mistakes you can make in dating. I could give you one. Sometimes you date someone and you get a little bit emotionally attached and you might prematurely talk about marriage and you realize, wait a minute, this is not the one I want to marry. But now you got her heart emotionally, you know, charged about you're going to get married. And you're like, I guess I'm not. And so, you know, I tell people all the time, you got to make sure you get a lot of help, especially during the dating process. What do you think, Doug? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. And then, too, you know, also the whole thing about he that finds a wife, okay? Mm-hmm. There's times when I've heard people say that you would be in a place not looking, but then that person will cross your path. And then I heard people also say there'll be times where you're to get up and not sit in a recliner and go out and seek that wife.
Sure, but how do you find something? If number one, did you lose it in the first place, or how do you find something? I mean, isn't that the same for everything in life? If God has something for you, he has it for you. And there are other times where we need to be proactive. You know, if we're asking God for a better job, but we don't apply. Now, it's possible, it's happened where a job might look for you and say, hey, Doug, we heard about you. We want to hire you, want to interview you. We think you'll be perfect. That happens. But also, there are times where God is like, all right, well, take that step of faith first, and then you'll see what I have for you. I personally love just taking the leap of faith and asking God to work. But I also know that there are times where I would not have looked, or I would not have walked in that direction. So God had to put it right in front of me. My wife was like that. I wasn't seeking for my wife when I found her. I had just broken up in a relationship. And I thought, believe it or not, I tried to hook my wife up with my roommate.
Wow.
And I didn't see it. I really didn't see it. And it was amazing because the roommate was a young Christian. So he went on a date with my wife that I hooked up, and he tells her, he says, listen, Marcos encouraged me to go on this date, and he asked me to pray about it because he thinks you could be a potential candidate for me. And she was like, what? Because she was already interested in me, and I blew it. I messed up. I didn't know. But I tell you what, God in his sovereign, you know, wisdom and everything knew that that's what needed to happen for the relationship to really take off, because then my eyes got open, and then she started kind of playing hard to get because she was hurt, and it was interesting, but it was a lot of fun. I'm so grateful. I love my wife, Amarilla. She's an amazing woman. I was blind, but now I see. That's what happened in my relationship. So, Doug, I think, you know, as long as you know, Psalm 37:4 is a great scripture. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, sometimes we might not even know the desires of our hearts. God does.
Right.
Sometimes we might think that we know what we want, and God is like, no, I know what you really want and need. So just keep an open heart, be humble. I think asking questions like this is very good, especially when you're single.
Yes, sir.
All right, Doug, we appreciate you calling us.
All right, thank you.
Have a blessed day.
Take care. Let's go to Mike calling in from Charlotte. Mike, good morning. Live on the air.
Good morning. I appreciate your program.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you calling. How can we help you?
I've been married for 21 years and separated for almost 1 year.
Wow.
My wife doesn't seem to really want to work on the marriage. And we're both Christians, and she's surrounded by Christian friends and family that are here and who seem to just be okay with this.
Okay.
And I just feel like it's a real injustice to our vows and our family and our daughter and friends and mutual friends, and it's just, I'm having a hard time with the way this is all unraveling.
Absolutely. So what happened? I mean, what led to the separation?
About 2 years ago, we went to counseling because things were rough, and we had stress with finances and some other things. And our church sponsored us to go to a Christian counseling center.
Okay.
And I thought we were working on it and turning things around, and then just out of the blue, she said she didn't feel like being married anymore, and a couple weeks after that, she moved out.
Wow. Wow. So now she's at a place where she doesn't even want to entertain getting help or trying to work on it. It's more like, has she mentioned divorce?
I have asked her if she just wants to end the marriage, and her usual answer is that I've already ended it. And all indications are that we're headed for divorce.
Well. And you have children, but I take it they're grown?
No, I have a 13-year-old daughter.
You have a 13-year-old? And this is with your wife, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And is your daughter with her or with you?
She's with her, and she's got a real attitude against me, and you know she won't even return my text, and this is just a bad age to for her to have all this stuff going down around her.
Oh, absolutely. I have a 13-year-old, and I can definitely understand. It's a very, I would say, it's a difficult age because they're trying to figure themselves out and to try to figure out now their parent, her parents' marriage on top of all this. I tell you, Mike, I do have a few more things I want to say, and I even want to ask you. We're going to take a brief break, but I want to be fair to you and even to our listeners. And so I want to continue on with this conversation. I have some things that might really help you. But we unfortunately, we have to take a break. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how things work here. So if you can please just hold.
Yep.
We'll be right back. We'll give you some godly advice from the scriptures that would help you in this situation.
All right. So we ask that you stay right there. Don't hang up. And you listening, don't you turn away. We're going to come right back, but we'd love for you to be a part of the program. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns next.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And welcome back. We were in the middle of a conversation with Mike from Charlotte before we took our break. So I just wanted to remind you of the phone number so you could be a part of today's discussion, 855-454-5905. So we're returning to Mike. Mike, are you there?
Mike, okay. Thank you so much for waiting patiently. So here we are, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. Mike was a caller right before our break, and Mike, you had mentioned how after 21 years of being married, you and your wife are separated, and it doesn't seem like she has any inclination of wanting to work it out. As a matter of fact, she just seems very adamant about moving on, and it involves even your 13-year-old daughter now feeling having certain issues with you. Now, Mike, I do. There is a part of me that feels like, okay, there has to be more to this. Like, what did you do that caused your wife to be so angry, in a sense? Because she sounds angry.
I think she is, and I think she's just seeing things in a perspective. I don't know if it's perimenopausal. I don't know what it is, but she takes things to extremes, and she'll say things like, I never loved her. We never had a good relationship. I never had a good relationship with my daughter.
Okay.
I mean, it's really just stuff that's just, if she could say, hey, things were great, and then things started to unravel a few years ago. That's one thing, but just to make these extreme,
sure,
one-sided claims is
okay. So this is what we're going to do, Mike. I'm going to trust what you're telling me and give you advice based on that. It's very unfortunate, and I know that God can turn anything around. And I tell people, you hope for the best, but you prepare for the worst. And so, you know, you never know how God is going to use this, but the only control you have is what you do. And so my advice during this time, specifically this time, because you have this separation, it's obviously not a separation you want, but you have it, and you can Correct. You can really use this time to reflect. And I came up with this for you to think about, and it's a time to focus on me. Focus on, I don't mean yourself, me, but me. As an acronym, make every effort. And what I mean by that is, at the end of it all, whatever happens, if she decides to change and you can work it out, amazing. If she decides she wants to divorce you and ends up divorcing you and even decides to move on, that at the end of it all, you can say you've made every effort, that you did your part, that she can't, or even God, especially when you face God, he won't say, well, why didn't you try this? Or why didn't you do everything? And so that is my encouragement to you. You know, the Bible doesn't use the word try. You know, we love to use that word, but the word try gives us a way out. Now, I'm not saying it's never in the Bible, But I'll give you one example. In Luke 13:24, it says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. You know, there's a difference, right? There's the making every effort, and then there's those who will try, and trying is not good enough. And so my advice and encouragement to you, Mike, is to make every effort. And that might mean fasting. That might mean praying. There's a book I recommend in situations like this. It's called The Love Dare. It's from it actually was highlighted in a movie a few years ago, a movie by the name of Fireproof. And the Love Dare.
We're past that point.
Yeah, so if you've done this. So at the end of it all, if you feel like, all right, you've done everything you can. But I tell you, many times I hear couples struggling and going through this, and they've not done it everything they could. They've tried things, but they've not done everything. And so I don't know if that is where you are. Maybe you've done everything. You've done ahead. You've stood on your head to show your wife that you're willing to do whatever it takes, and she's still adamant about not wanting to work it out. Then you can face God and saying, okay, you know, what else can I do? But if you haven't, I encourage you to do the good you know you should do. I mean, have you even tried writing her a letter and apologizing? And
yes, I have.
Wow. All right. So it just sounds like she's made up her mind. And I don't think in this case, if you've made every effort, that there's anything else you can do other than, you know, pray. But at the same time, let her go. And hopefully she comes to her senses. I mean, you don't believe that's because she has someone else she's trying to connect with her.
No, she didn't, and I believe her on that front.
Okay.
Maybe I was naive, but
yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah, so it just sounds like there's something that she just feels like she's better off being alone than in the relationship. I mean, the last thing is, have you prayed for God to show you what you need to learn through all this?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, my brother Mike, I think at this point, all you can do is just really let go, and let her make these decisions, because you holding on, it's not going to change anything. It's only going to prolong. So if this is what she really wants, then it's
a little easier said than done. You're right.
No, it is easier said than done. Absolutely, you're torn. We hear that. But you know the reality is, there's nothing that anyone can ever do, and this includes our spouses. There's nothing that anyone can ever do that God can't heal. Now, I know you probably don't want to hear that now, but this won't last forever. And perhaps God has another plan. I mean, I've seen it. And I've seen people go through really difficult times, and then they end up meeting someone that is the total opposite, someone that really appreciates them. But in this case, it's your wife will be the one making the decision, not you, because you want this marriage. She doesn't.
Yes.
All right, Mike. Go ahead.
It only takes one person to end it. I get that. I'm having trouble with the cousin.
It takes one person to end it, but it takes both to work it out.
Correct.
Yeah. And you know what? I think at the end of it all, I mean, God is still sovereign. I think sometimes I've known of situations where people are about to sign divorce papers and it just, God doesn't allow it. And then there are other times where it does end. And like I said earlier, someone ends up meeting a person they never would have even considered, or God had something, you know, in store for them. Again, it's not, and I don't believe you have that heart, and that should never be the case. Like, I want out so that I can find someone else. I don't think that's the case. But imagine, you know, God knows. I mentioned it to a previous caller who's single, and I said, you know, God knows the desires of our hearts from Psalm 37:4, but we need to delight in him. And I would really use this time, if you haven't already, Mike, to really get closer to God, because that's the only relationship that you will have right now that won't disappoint you.
Yeah, but I think it's the only thing keeping me halfway sane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like. And you know what? I think you're going to be okay, because your faith, your openness. I mean, if you were closed up, I would be more concerned. But I know you're going to be okay. It's still going to be painful. That doesn't help with the pain. But I think you know that with God, all things work for the good of those who love him. We'll be praying for you, Mike.
I recently wrote that in a note to her and said that we can turn it around. With God, all things are possible, and she knows that.
Mm-hmm. You know something else, Mike? Sometimes what, and I'm not saying you do this for her. You do this for you and God. But sometimes what is the best remedy for a situation like this is for you to move on with your life and get it together so that it can be like, wait a minute, this man is not falling apart. Because of the like for her to feel like, wait a minute, your life is based more on just this marriage. You have a relationship with God, you're a great man, you have a lot going for you, and although it's easier said than done, but for you to really kind of get your life together at this point, and I'm not saying you start dating or anything like that, not at all, especially not until the divorce is official. But if that's what she wants, that she doesn't also feel like your life is devastated, even though it is. But that God can put it together. I mean, to me, that's the greatest testimony you can give to God, is how he'll help you to heal and be put together through all this.
I read a similar concept in Dobson's Love Must Be Tough book. I feel like it's just easier said than done. I'm having trouble getting myself to apply the principle.
Well, you know, it's like anything else. Sometimes it's just one day at a time. You know, Luke 9:23, you deny yourself daily. You're going to probably have to get up every day and decide you're going to live your life to the full, not based on your circumstances. And believe it or not, our theme scripture was Philippians 4:4, which is a scripture that Paul wrote while he was in prison. And it simply says, rejoice in the Lord always. Although you don't feel like it, you still need to rejoice in the Lord. And then he says it again, right? He's like, I say it again, rejoice. So, Mike, through all this, as crazy, as upside down as this must sound to you, this is a time you must rejoice. And you might say, well, how? How in the world can I rejoice when my wife doesn't want to be with me, when my daughter doesn't want to talk to me? It's like you rejoice because it's helping you to get to a spiritual level that you never would have achieved or accomplished on your own. And if you believe God is really who he is, says he is, He's got you. He's got your back. All right, Mike?
Thank you.
No, thank you so much for your call. We'll be praying. I'll definitely be praying for you, Mike, personally.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a blessed day.
Take care.
Thank you.
This is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're taking your calls at 855-454-5905. It's an open forum today. So you can ask whatever question you have about your relationship. Let's go to Jessica calling in from the Philadelphia area on line 2. Jessica, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jessica. How can we help you this morning?
All right. I'm a little nervous.
Okay.
I really don't. My business out there. I've been married 2 years, and I've been going to church. And before being married, I was going to church. Before my marriage, you know, I went out and did a couple things that I shouldn't have done. But my husband, we got married anyway because I went to a retreat, you know, and the theme of the retreat of, you know, being married to God. So I told my husband that, you know, I wanted to get married to honor God and, you know, to do things right. So we got married, and I just recently found out that my husband had cheated on me a month after our marriage because he believed that I cheated on him before the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first couple of months of the marriage, it was good because mm-hmm. we were going to church and stuff. And he left the church, you know, being out in the streets and stuff, and things got really rocky. I have three teenage daughters, and they went like downhill with the emotional abuse and the verbal abuse.
Okay, and these daughters are from with your husband?
No, they're not.
Okay.
Me and my husband, we got reconnected. We used to date when we were younger.
Okay.
We got reconnected, and, you know, like some people say, if, you know, it comes back to you, then it's meant to be.
Okay.
So, I had thought that, and, you know, I just, like, in my gut feeling when I was told about his infidelity, I felt it in my gut that it was true.
Okay.
And I've been praying to God, like, you know, make this family work, you know, whatever we've been going through, you know, let it be a family, let it be good. But it was always arguments, and, you know, I found out some other stuff while we were married. Him telling people that I was cheating on him, and, you know, that he's not married to me, that we're breaking up, and,
yeah,
you know, girls that he used to mess with in the past. So,
sure.
I left that alone. You know, I forgave that, and he's denied it, of course. And with this situation last, you know, that happened last, he still denies it.
And so he doesn't, he's not admitting to the affair,
right,
or the unfaithfulness?
Right.
But you believe it's true, you say?
Like when the girl was telling me, because she knows she's with his best friend, and she heard the commotion that was going on,
Mm-hmm.
So I just was asking God before I found this out, and, you know, for 7 months, you know, praying to God, you know, God, I want to bring myself closer to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's going on between me and my, you know, husband, can you, like, you know, show me in some kind of way, or, like, show me signs.
Okay.
Because it was, like, really, really rocky, and today it's still rocky, like, arguments and stuff.
And you don't think any of those signs were to not get married and break up the relationship?
Well, that's what you said, that the girl was trying to break us up. For some reason, I don't know, because I guess she broke up with her boyfriend.
Yeah,
me and her got close, and, you know, she said she's been wanting to tell me for a long time, and she didn't.
And she's the one that had the affair with your husband?
No, she did not.
Okay. All right. Well, I think a few things here, Jessica, that are going on. I think there's something broken, and please get this. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm just trying to be honest from what I hear, from what I'm hearing from you here. I really think there's something broken with your relationship with God.
Yes.
I mean, you started off this relationship not just rocky, but on a totally flawed foundation. And you knew this. I mean, and I think the good side of this is I do believe there's a part of you that wants to please God, but you let your emotions dominate too much. And
I had this one lady, she told me, you know, she's known me since all my life. She's like, that's your husband? I said, yes. And then, like, I guess she's seen it, because she's a woman of God, a very strong woman of God. And
okay.
She's like, you know, I rushed into it.
So you say you rushed into it? Yeah, I mean,
mm-hmm.
It sounds like, it
I
sounds like you,
God.
Well, you know what it happened? It seems like you try to make it right, but by making a bad decision on top of another bad decision. You know, marriage, a lot of times people think marriage is the remedy, but all marriage does is expose what's there already. So if you have a bad engagement, if you have a bad relationship, you get married, it doesn't fix it. It just makes it, it exposes what's there. And when your relationship with God was already something was off, because you were living with this man or you know for sure having an inappropriate relationship with him. Your way of fixing it was like, all right, let's get married. Well, nothing changed except now it got exposed. You've seen who this man really is, and you're seeing all these other signs. And whether you're correct or incorrect, the bottom line is there's broken trust. You don't trust him.
Yes.
And that's bad. Even worse, he doesn't trust you. So you don't have trust in both directions. You can't build a marriage, you know, on distrust. You need to build it on trust. You can't build it on distrust. I mean, it just doesn't work. It's like building on nothing. Distrust is nothing. You need trust. You need something of substance, and you need, you know, a relationship with God. You need trust. Let me tell you what trust comes. When you know someone loves God, you can trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Because my wife and I, we trust each other, but we also don't trust the devil. But because we love God, we know we would not allow ourselves to be put in a situation that would be compromising.
Mm-hmm.
Because we love God. I just fear God too much. And how do I know? Well, we dated and were engaged for over a year and a half almost, and we were absolutely pure. We weren't sleeping with each other. So if we were able to be pure and we loved each other and we had temptations, but we did it the right way, then why would we mess this up? And the only reason we stayed pure was because we love God. So, of course, we're going to remain pure after marriage. But when you don't have that, it's like, well, how do you know? How do you, if God wasn't the reason that kept you pure, then what's going to stop you? And in his case, it sounds like he's very deceitful. He's lying to these women to try to get to them. You don't trust them. And now it also sounds like he has some issues with anger. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so you have a really bad situation here. Are you together or separated?
No, we're together. Like after I found this out, I just, you know, was emotionally drawn. And, you know, I still go to church, but I was emotionally drawn. Like I'm keeping myself distant from him, not getting too close with him. Like, you know, he tried to be lovey-dovey, but in the back of my mind, I said it to one of the women in my church, you know, I admitted to her that what was going on with me. And she, you know, always tells him, you know, God loves you and this and that. She tries to talk to him and stuff. But then I told her that, you know, I found out my husband was being unfaithful to me. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know what, Jessica, you know, just keep praying, put it in God's hands, and, you know. So
if you're absolutely certain, my advice to you would be leave that relationship. Leave it alone. And I've seen this before. I have relatives I love very much. And when you remind me of one of them, where she tried to make this marriage work so much. And you know what was the saddest thing after it all ended? Because it ended. She found out that he was already in a relationship. He's remarried. And that he was already in that relationship way before they were divorced. And so
we talked about divorce several times in an argument. And he would bring up my past and stuff.
Yeah. It just sounds so rocky. Like, you know what would be better? If you're meant to be together, it'll be better for you to break this off and remarry, but the right way, if it's meant to be.
I try to get talk to him about, let's get in marriage counseling.
It's not too late to have premarital counseling. I mean, I'm not saying divorce is the answer. I'm just saying, look, this is going so wrong. You can't keep going down the same road. It's not gonna go well. It's not gonna end well. Right. We everybody around you. You yourself, you can see, I mean, where this road leads is bad. So what do you got to do? You got to stop. You got to make a U-turn. You got to go somewhere else. You got to change directions. Okay. And the fact that you're still together, like this is, if there's ever a time to separate, this is the time. And the Bible says you separate for a time, you know, you don't deprive one another. But if you do, you do it for a time. Meaning that you give yourself, okay, let's take these next few weeks. Right now, it's probably perfect because you can say, listen, let's separate for a minute. January is a new year. Let's decide what we're going to do about our marriage. But we can't keep going down this road.
Right.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Jessica. We hear you. We hear your pain. But, you know, it sounds like you even have a great person in your corner, this woman that's godly, that has biblical principles that's trying to guide you. I would say listen to those around you that love you and care about you, and they're going to give you godly advice.
Yeah, my mom told me to get an annulment 7 months after we were married.
Listen to those loved ones that God has put in your life. I'm serious. Listen. Don't listen to yourself emotionally. All right? Listen to those loved ones. People, and I'm not saying anybody, but those that you know. The Bible says wounds from a friend could be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather get slapped by someone that I know that loves me as opposed to what the Bible says, an enemy that multiplies kisses. So you want to make sure, listen to those people in your life. All right, Jessica, thank you so much. We appreciate your call.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, take care. Let's go to Terry from the Philadelphia area on line one. Terry, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi, Terry. How can we help you this morning?
Hi. I'm actually a repeat caller. I've talked to you on several incidents now.
Okay.
And unfortunately, my situation still hasn't really changed. But the real reason that I was calling was, first of all, because I heard a previous caller, and I wanted to know how you felt about, okay, I've heard the saying of hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you already going through something and that other person is going through something similar.
Sure.
How do y'all help one another if you're both hurt?
I got you.
And I thought when I heard that person on the line, I was like, wow, shall I reach out or shall I? I said, this would be a great forum since it's an open forum for me to ask Marcos, because we both know you.
Mm-hmm.
We both are faithful listeners, and we both are going through the differences. I'm a mature saint.
Okay.
I've been married much longer, but the difference is, the actual same situation is we both now are separated. So
gotcha.
As a saint that been married for 21 years versus that saint that might only been married for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
the difference is, again, my walk with the Lord is a little stronger. Also, just like the previous caller, my heart just went out to Mike.
I just
pray for Mike to just stay strong and just stay connected to the Lord, because he will. He's the only thing and the only one that can wound our broken hearts and our hearts. Because right now, I spoke to you just a couple weeks ago, Marcos,
mm-hmm.
and I told you the sad part is I'm almost content with my situation.
Yeah.
I've been separated for 3 years now. My husband just is staying in a stupor. He's
mm-hmm.
remaining not working. He's remaining still where he's just got to the same thing, content with us being separated, and he's don't want to do anything. And I was in a situation where he was bringing me down, so that's why I left. But we still love one another, and we still communicate. I finally had to stop what you told the other, to stop the sex stuff. You have to leave that alone because it was causing confusion.
And you understand what I mean by that, right? I'm not telling couples
mm-hmm.
not to have sex
mm-hmm.
If they're married, but I'm saying that if your house is a mess and you're not even sure if you're going to move on with the relationship, and he's out the house and he's abusive, but he comes home and has sex, it's like there's no hope of working it out. I mean, that's literally having your cake and eating it too. You know, it's like you have whatever you want. And so that doesn't work. I mean, that's not what God wants. God wants that commitment. That's what marriage is. It's a commitment. And so you basically are having a non-commitment marriage. I mean, what is that? So I think to answer your question, to be honest, right now, Terry, is the fact that you are going through something and you have someone else that's going through something as well, very similar, you know each other. Are you able to be a good support for one another? I think yes and no. I think
right, that's how I feel.
And this
yes
is why.
No.
And
that's
I don't always say yes and no.
Like,
but
wow,
here's the yes. Here's
I felt
the yes
so
part.
Bad for her.
Well, here's the yes part. I mean, you can relate like no one else.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're not the best person to give her the advice.
Thank you.
And so you can be friends. And this is why I tell people all the time. You can sympathize with someone, but you might not have the courage to do it as well. So you need one another. But what that means is you have friends that, and we all need different kinds of friends. You have those friends that are going to always listen. You can be a great ear and a great support because you can understand like no one else.
Mm-hmm.
However, you both need the type of friend that's also going to tell you straightforward and say, listen, you both, sisters, ladies, I love you, but you're in sin. Because you know the good you ought to do. You're getting too comfortable, but you still have a commitment. You made a vow. This is your husband. You can't neglect him. Unless you know, you're in limbo. Unless you're going to divorce him, that's another story. But if you're alone, if you're still married, I mean, all you're doing is opening it up for him to be adulterous.
On her, and unfortunately, it's not to say, but fortunate for me and mine, we are actually still monogamous that I know of to one another. We just don't live in the same household.
I got you.
Her situation, yes, is a little different. But mine's is just that mine's is he's just going through something.
Mm-hmm.
The similar situation is our spouses both lost their mothers,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed like they lost their mind once they lost their mama.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they...
No, that could be tough. People mourn differently. That's one thing.
On air, but they still need that milk from their mama. Their mama's gone.
I know.
And then mine just went downhill. After he stopped working, his health went down.
I remember your call.
Now you do, but I never heard from you. See, that was my problem. I was supposed to hear back from you, and never heard from me to call or to go do some other kind
of... That part I don't remember. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I haven't heard from you. And I mean, I'm in limbo because I still love my husband with everything in me. And I know after 21 years, we've made it. I know we still can make it another 20. I'm not one that I don't... That's why I'm still holding on.
I got you. But you know what it sounds like, what I'm hearing? And I don't remember everything about the conversation. Mm-hmm, you're saying that, mm-hmm. I don't know if we talked off the air or you sent me an email. I don't know. But this is what I can tell you is your assessment of your husband is very accurate. His world fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was too much about his mother. And unfortunately, there's some men who are like that. They never grew up. A lot of times it's because they grew up in single mother households. I'm not saying every single mother is like that, but it's hard. You know, his mom couldn't let go. He wouldn't let go. And they begin to enable their children. And then, you know, you get married and you can't be that mother as much as you. And plus, you don't want to be. You don't want to be his mother. You want to be his wife. And so what happens is he's just seriously mourning. He has no one to replace. Ideally for him, what he would want is for you to fill that void. But again, you're not his mother, you're his wife. So he totally needs counseling, but I think also you need to have some kind of compassion and understand it's not going to change overnight. I mean, for your case, I mean, it's severe because your husband's not even working. This has devastated his life so much.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're in there with him, but you also have set up some boundaries. So this won't affect you as much.
Exactly.
And then, you know, then you got the part with the having sex and all that. Look, I'm not saying
it's
that's
hard,
the answer.
Too, 'cause we miss each other and we love each other.
Yeah, and I want you to be clear on this.
It was causing a problem, like you said. It was like he was getting so happy with, okay, just stop by,
all right,
baby.
But this is what I want to be clear, though. And I say this all the time. And this is not a solution long term. Okay, so... I mean, he's your husband. He has needs. You're a woman. You have needs. And it's not sin for you to be together. All I'm saying is work it out so that you can have a marriage and not just, you know, and I don't want to use an improper term, but, you know, you don't want just someone to call you up for sex. You know, that's not what you want. And so it's very important that we work it out and you see that. So I want to ask you, look, I'll talk to you a little bit more. We're about to wrap up our show.
Sure.
But I would love to just chat with you a little bit more. I don't know what that breakdown was, again, how you try to reach us. But that's where we're at. I mean, you have some great things to share. I think you can help your friend.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. I really felt for her. I wanted to reach out. But you hit the nail on the head. I just have to learn. I'm going to have to pray about it and find out where my place will be for her, because by me being an older saint, I just know I can help her, but I have to know how to be just a listener sometime and be cautious and careful about my advice, because
but you know,
I don't want to lead her wrong.
You know what's good, though?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we know exactly what to tell someone. It's just hard for us to take that medicine.
Okay.
So you might be really good at that. Now you just got to make sure now you don't become a hypocrite. And you got to say, all right, well, I'm doing this too. I'm preaching to myself when I say this. But let me leave you with this passage, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, where it says, do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you might devote yourselves to prayer, then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So here is the only scripture that we could ever reference that really hints at, okay, maybe you can separate, but just for a time is by mutual consent and then come together. So the goal is to come together, and it says so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So the goal is to work this out. Sometimes you got to work it out separately and come back together.
I'm like Mike. I can't work it out one side.
No, you can't. No, you're right. You're right.
Mike,
but you're...
just like he said, he was doing everything with the wife. He can't do it without the opposite, you know, person.
It is. But you know what? Let me just say something about that really quick. I've met guys just like Mike, and if they trust God— if they trust God and they rejoice, like we said, as difficult, as crazy as that may sound, God always works it out.
It's working it out for me. Sadly to say.
All right. Well, we thank you, Terry. We appreciate your call. You have a blessed day.
You also.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it. That's it for this edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We thank you so, 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 so much for listening. We hope you will join us again next week starting at 8 a.m. Much love going out to our producer in Charlotte, Ron, and our producer here in Philadelphia, Larry. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll see you next time. Bye.